Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
If you have a good news story, grab one of our good news cards at the back and be sure to fill it in because we want to fill up that wall in the cafe. If you haven't seen the wall in the cafe, we want to fill up that wall with your handprints of God's good news stories in your life so we can count together what God is doing, not just in Josh's life, and he's incredible, but I know that he's got so much more in store with us. So I want to say good morning to you if you're visiting us for the first time. If you're back again and you've been here for 20,000 years, good morning to you too. It's great to be in God's house. You know, there's nowhere else we'd rather be on a Sunday morning. And I know that some of you might think that's not true, but I know for sure it's true because it's in his presence that we are restored and made new and made whole and where we just get everything we need for life. And so it's so great that we're together in one place. We don't take this moment for granted. Heinz said such a powerful phrase, there's no throwaway Sundays. We don't go through the motion of just like, well, I'm here again. Let's see if God can break through my calloused heart. No, there's no throwaway Sundays because the presence of God is here and we are here and we want to hear from him. That's why we position ourselves in his presence. As Heinz said, we're in a series and our theme for the year is Good News People. And we're so excited about this theme because we know that God is going to be doing something in us and through us. Last week, if you missed Kulu preach, he preached a phenomenal message into the series of Good News People. And so catch it up on our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to that, do so, because we're on a journey and we try and go on a journey for a month in a series at a time and we journey together and each step is another building block in the series. So we would love for you to catch up on our YouTube channel. The one thing we love about this series is that there seems to be bad news all around us. And so we want to flip that narrative on its head and keep showing the good news of Christ. Can I invite you to stand with me as we pray? Let's open our hearts, open our minds. Let's be receptive. We're here in the presence of God. No throwaway Sundays. Let's be receptive to what the Spirit wants to say to each one of us in this place today, because he has a word for each of us. You could place your hand on your heart or open your hands. Just let's receive today. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts and into our minds right now. Lord, I thank you for the beauty of the local church, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. I thank you that we are members in particular, that each one of us has our place in the body of Christ, and that you use us together to make something beautiful in this world. I pray, Father, that as we hear your word today, that you would speak to each of us individually in this corporate place. We know that you are a personal God, and you have a personal message for us. Would you use my fallible words to preach your infallible gospel, we pray. Holy Spirit, move. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. For me, living in South Africa at the moment is complicated. It's complicated because I love this country. I love the diversity. I love the beauty. I love that, honestly, we have the best country in the world. If you've traveled around, when people come to our country, they cannot believe what we have here. The people, the beauty, the natural beauty. But at the same time, it's complicated because when you wake up and the first thing you see is your Eskom app going, stage 6 load shedding that just got upgraded on a Monday morning. When you're trying to get to school with your kids and trying to get to work, you know it's going to be a rough start. Because then you're like, get out of bed, everybody go, go, go. There's going to be more traffic. It's complicated, right? When you put your radio on in your car and you hear that there's going to be another petrol increase. I don't know if it's just you, like, I just switch that radio off. I'm like, I can't. You know, the bad news wants to come at you all the time. It wants to like, disintegrate your soul, right? You ride down the road and you see the lamppost with the heading that says, you know, your money has been stolen. Basically, your tax money, it's gone. Like, somebody stole billions of it. Like, how encouraging as you drive through the streets of South Africa. You know, and to me, it's really heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And, like, I often think, like, cry the beloved country. You know, that's what I think as I am in a complicated space. I love this place, but it's complicated. And then on the other hand, I'm a good news person. I'm a Christ follower living in South Africa. That makes it even more complicated. You know, because I want to be a good news person. A desire to walk into atmospheres and to change atmospheres with the presence of God, with the hope of Jesus, with so much. I just want to be able to impart life and hope and healing into environments that I walk into. But before I can even walk into that environment, I'm hit with all this complicated bad news. I want to carry the presence of God. I want to help educate children in our country. I want to help empower youth. And I want to share the hope of Christ. And so this complicated thing about South Africa is I often then wonder to myself, where would I even begin? Right? And would it even make a difference? And I'm sure you felt the same. Thought the same, living in South Africa as a Christ follower, thinking like, is it going to even make a difference, whatever I might try and do? And so just this past week, us as a senior staff, we unpacked a text, which I felt spoke so powerfully into this that I could not help but share it. And I just thanked the staff team. I'm like, you just preached my message. Thank you. You prepared my message for me, and I'm just going to preach it. So this is not all my own revelation. This is our team's revelation. Heinz just smiling because he's like, that's my point. Joy. Wait, and Joy's going to claim a point, but it's okay. I believe that God gave us a word so that we together can be these good news people. And so we're going to read this text, and it talks about how it is possible to live beautifully as a Christ follower in this broken nation. And that's what we're going to unpack today. It's Luke 10, 25 to 37, and it says this. One day, an expert of the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? I love how Jesus asks a question after a question is asked of him. He never just tells you the answer. No, hardly ever in Scripture. Jesus answers a question with a question. And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus said, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil, wine, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Friends, from this passage of Scripture, we can learn how it is that we as Christ followers in this complicated, broken nation can still be good news in the places that God has placed us. And so the first point for us today is that good news people are found in the everyday, ordinary places. The Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, was on his way in his life, taking a journey on the road. And in his everyday, ordinary life, he saw a beaten up Jewish man. He didn't have to go anywhere. It wasn't like, hey, there's somebody that needs you to go to this place far away. He was in his everyday, ordinary life, going about his everyday, ordinary routine, or that day's ordinary routine, and he bumped into someone who needed help. Friends, can I encourage us? Let's just have eyes to see and notice the world around us. Notice the people we can come into contact with. See if that person might need just a little bit of love, a little bit of care, a conversation, a cup of coffee, just in our everyday, ordinary lives. You know, God has a place that there are missionaries that go to faraway places and do wonderful things, but we are missionaries. We are good news people in our everyday, ordinary lives. A couple of years ago, my best friend was on her way home from her early morning exercise, which I just think shouldn't happen anyway. It's early and we need sleep, you know. But she was on her way back. It was probably about 5 in the morning. And she was driving home from her boot camp. And she noticed a man groaning and rolling on the floor close to her house. But when she looked a little closer, she noticed that this man had really good shoes on. So he wasn't just, you know, a beggar that was sleeping at her door. She said, there's something odd here. And so she stopped. She turned her car around. She went to see this man. And when she got close, she saw that he was injured. Then when she looked a little closer, she saw that he had his wallet in his pocket. And so she grabbed his wallet because he was, you know, semi-unconscious, a little bit out of it completely, like just not able to communicate. And so she grabbed his wallet, saw his name from his ID, phoned the police, phoned the ambulance. And later, once they tracked down his children were grateful because he was an old man who had dementia and who he had wandered away from home and had gotten lost. And he had wandered quite far away from his home. And in the middle of the night, he had fallen and bumped his head on the pavement and was completely disoriented. And if she had not stopped, if she had not noticed, we don't know what would have happened to that man. Friends, can I encourage us? Let's just notice. We don't have to go across the world, across the country. We have to go to our workplaces, to our daily lives, through the roots of our streets, on our way back from gym a little later than 5 in the morning. Whatever it is, in our everyday, ordinary lives, we can be good news people. The second lesson that we learn from the story is that the good news people are compassionate. Verse 33 says this, and I want us to pay attention to the words. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Compassion literally means to suffer together. It's defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and you feel motivated to relieve their suffering. It's not a coincidence that in this sentence, the words despised Samaritan and compassion are coupled. Friends, this despised Samaritan understood what it was like to be isolated. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to be ostracized. He knew what it was like to be avoided and abandoned. And as a result of him being a despised Samaritan, he had compassion for another who was rejected on the side of the road. Out of his brokenness, there came compassion. And he came and wanted to alleviate the suffering of another because he understood what it was like to suffer. Church, a few of us in the room, and I don't say this lightly, we need a little bit less compassion. And that's because we take on the pain of the world and we don't cope. And we need to say, okay, God, I feel this pain. What do you want me to do with this pain? Okay, I feel this pain. I hand this pain to you because you are the God who can deal with this pain. But others of us in this room, we are compassionless. And we need God to break our hearts for what breaks his heart. And that's a prayer we need to pray. God, would you break my heart for the things that break your heart? I don't want to go through this life with a compassionless heart, with a hard heart. And so what we need to first do, and the step to compassion is awareness. We need to notice. And then it needs to move to our cognition. It needs to move to our thinking. We actually need to think about what it might be to be the person standing on the side of the road, you know, begging for something. And put ourselves in their place mentally and then ask God to move it from a mental place to a heart space. And then once it reaches our hearts, ask God what it is that you want me to do with this. And so I don't say it lightly that some of us are too brokenhearted about the pain because we are not God and we cannot solve it all. But what we can do is do what God has put in front of us and move towards just the need in front of us. In our everyday, ordinary lives. The rest of us need to perhaps go to a place of, okay, God, I need an awareness. Give me an awareness. Help this to come from into my mind. And then once it moves into my mind, help it to move into my heart and into my emotions. And then once it's done that, help me to act on what you have revealed to me. The next thing we want to talk about today is that good news people are generous with their resources. It says that the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, he took his oil and his wine right there in the moment and he tended to the man's wounds. That was what he had on him. Friends, what's powerful about this is it's not saying tend to somebody with what you don't have. We can tend to people, impact people with the resources we do have. And so the resources he had were olive oil and wine. So perhaps he had to drink a little less wine because he cleaned the wounds with his anesthetic wine. Perhaps he had to cook with a little less oil, but he used that. Then he got off his own donkey, put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and then paid 2 silver coins. And then one step further, hey, I'll come back and pay more if needs be. But those were resources he had. And I feel like as South Africans, we're like, well, we're all just trying to make it here. And so I can't help anyone. Friends, what do you have? What are the means that God has given you? And we don't have to just look for monetary wealth. It could be skills. What is a skill that you could learn to someone else? Do you have time? If you have time, go and visit an old age home. Give of your time to those who are being neglected. If you have time or that you could volunteer at our Shine Literacy Program, 2 or 3 hours of a week of helping a grade 2 learner to read and write. What are the resources at your disposal and what is it that you can do? Perhaps you have some finances. Well, then buy a hope bag at the help desk there to help a family in need in our church. Perhaps you can't handle, as I can't, the amount of poverty that is around me, and I can't keep going through robots and not giving. So what I do is I buy Nutrigo packs, and I fill my car with Nutrigo packs, and every single robot I get to, and we run out within a week, we hand our Nutrigo packs to people and tell them how to use it and just give them a meal that would encourage them, help them. Perhaps your friend just needs a lift. You have a car, their car's in for repairs. You know, what is the resources that you have at your disposal, and how is it that you could bless someone? Perhaps there's clothes in your cupboard that don't fit because you've lost weight. We're going with that. You know, bless someone if they're in great condition. Toys in your house that are sitting in your garage that your children have outgrown, bicycles and bless someone. There is so much need around us, and we don't have to take of the resources we don't have to meet that need, but rather take of the resources we do have to meet that need. Let's leverage our resources to bless someone else, and that will help us to be good news people in our nation. Another lesson that we learn from the text is that good news people are okay with being interrupted. They are okay with being interrupted. Friends, the one thing we know for sure is this Samaritan man was on a journey. It doesn't tell us which way he was going. If he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's a new name, or from Jericho to Jerusalem, we are unsure. But what we do know is he was on a journey. He had somewhere he was going. We don't know if he was going to work. We don't know if he was going to visit a loved one. We don't know what time his appointment was. But we know that he was okay with being interrupted, which meant that he obviously had some margin in his life. He obviously had some space to think, okay, this man is more valuable than my current to-do list. And I know this is difficult because there were two other people who walked right past that man. And if I don't say this with judgment, because I think it could have even been me. If I have to place myself in that story, I am often too busy to stop and see the need around me. I don't know. The scripture doesn't say if the priest and the temple assistant had bad hearts. It doesn't say that. They may have just been too busy to go like, I've got an appointment. If I stop and I do something, and they never saw the value of that interruption. Friends, good news people are okay with being interrupted. The Samaritan weighed up the value of that interruption, and he valued the Jewish man's life above his agenda. And so it might be a difficult thing for us, because I know if you're anything like me, you have back-to-back meetings, back-to-back appointments, and you're running from here to here to here. Can I encourage us? Let's build a little margin into our lives in order that we can be good news people. And so there's a couple of ways that we can carve out space so that when we see somebody, we can have a life-giving conversation. On the side of a sports field, when our kids are kicking balls, instead of sitting in our cars working on our laptops. I've been inclined to do that. Perhaps you see your friend is going through a difficult time and you want to buy them flowers, but you don't have any margin in your life to even pop to the shops to do so. Friends, let's carve out space in our lives so that we can bless others. To have coffee with a colleague, just to sit in your own office space for your own coffee break. I'm not saying steal your employee's time. I'm saying the coffee break that is yours. Have a coffee and chat to someone in your office and connect to them for a few moments. We need margin to hand food to a beggar who comes to your door where you want to make them a sami. We need margin to send a meaningful text to someone who might be going through a tough time, to send someone a scripture. We need margin to help someone move house. We need margin to visit people in hospital. We need margin to babysit other people's kids so that they can go out for a night. Can I encourage us, friends, carve out a little space to be interrupted? Because when God prompts, which he will, when you carve out a little margin in your life, then you will have the capacity to move towards that. So here are a couple of practical ways to do that. Leave buffer between activities. Firstly, everything takes longer than you think it will. Let's be honest. Everything takes longer than you think it will. So schedule a little bit more time for that activity and then leave a little buffer between the two so that if in the middle of a meeting you can see a colleague is suffering and struggling, you can just take a moment to say, hey, I can see you struggling today. You want to chat for a minute? And pray for them in that moment. The next thing is that leave earlier for your appointments. You know, so many people scrape in by the skin of their teeth into everything. They're chucking their kids into kids' shoes. Like, go, go, I'm missing the first song. Because we didn't allow margin. Right? Instead of like, okay, it will set my child up better if I arrive 15 minutes earlier, if I register them well and go and have a coffee in the cafe and chat to someone who might see me and encourage me, or I might see them and encourage them. Let's be people who arrive to church on time. Earlier, actually. Not running in the back row like, oh, it's so dark in here, I can't see. It's dark in here, you can't see because the service started. Allow margin in your budget. Do not go to the end of your fields, the scripture says. Don't harvest to the ends of your fields. Leave some. So that if there is a need, you can bless someone without being like, I really wish I could help someone, but I really, really can't. And if you're not in a position to do that currently, move towards it. I understand that life happens, but that shouldn't be your way you live all the time. Start to build budget, margin in your budget, and like have a blessing budget. You know, Pastor Byron and I have an amount that we are happy to bless people without conversing with each other because it's built into our budget. Try and build some margin into your budget for that. And friends, can I encourage you to limit your time on social media? Social media steals your time. Not only does it steal your time, it steals your joy. Because on social media, all of a sudden we are comparing their highlight reels to our real lives. And we're like, wow, their life is amazing. My life is poo-poo. You know, like, that is what social media does. It steals our time and it steals our joy. 2 years ago, I was on my way home from work and I got stuck in a violent riot. There were workers who were rioting for more wages, which I understand there's so many people unpaid, but I got trapped with rioters coming towards my car and I couldn't do anything. So firstly, I was late to pick up my children. But the second thing is there was a lot of fear in that moment, like what's going to happen? And they kept detouring, the helpers that were there kept detouring the cars so that we could try and avoid the rioters. And so we ended up going left and then going right. And everywhere I went, I was boxed in because there were these 4x4s of people who were trying to escape the riot and they had ramped the pavements. Now, I don't have a 4x4, guys. I just have like a normal car. And so I was trapped because there were 4x4s on the pavements who were trying to get away and the rioters were coming towards me. And so I firstly had to phone someone to fetch my kids. And so I'm like, okay, guys, I'm stuck in a riot. Pray. But please fetch my children because they're outside the school. Okay, because I don't want them to worry. So I phoned a friend and she was interruptible. She was absolutely, I will be there. And God was so good and he was kind. And somehow through prayers of family, the roads opened up and I managed to get home unscathed. But it was a frightening moment, and when I arrived home and my kids were there, my friend was waiting for me, and she could see that I was completely shaken up. So she let me sit and made me a cup of coffee or tea, I can't even remember, and let me debrief from the trauma of that experience. And what I want to say is that people who are available, people who are interruptible, minister healing to others. If she was not interruptible, firstly, my children would still be at that school. But secondly, I wouldn't have been able to debrief from that trauma. And so she sat with me and helped me to debrief. She helped me heal. She prayed with me. And all of a sudden, a calm just filled my home because of someone who was there to pray with and for me. Friends, good news, people are okay with being interrupted. And my final point for today is that good news people are okay with being anonymous. Now, you might be here going, how do you see that? Well, the scripture says that the Jewish man was beaten up and almost left half dead. Now, there are a couple of things. Somebody who's beaten up, generally, it's got to do with their face. So he may not have been able to see through his eyes. But also, there's a strong possibility, if he was almost dead, that he was unconscious, if we read into the text. And so what I am seeing and what we saw as a staff team is that he probably put an unconscious man on his donkey. hanging over his donkey, drove him to an inn, looked after him for the night, and it says the next day, the man was still not in a good enough space to get up out of that bed and to leave. And so he gave the innkeeper money and said, look after him. What we believe, reading this text, is that there was a strong possibility that this despised Samaritan went unknown to this Jewish man. And so he did this good news deed anonymously. He basically healed a man anonymously. He didn't heal the man and go, saved a Jewish man, you know, selfie, posted on Facebook, you know, went to a shelter, fed the poor. No, he didn't do that. He healed the man, left him with money, and left. How beautiful is that picture? That, friends, our good news deeds can sometimes and should sometimes be anonymous. And the reason is it's important for our formation. This is between me and you, God. You saw what I did. I don't need to tell everybody what I did because you saw what I did, and my reward will be in heaven one day. But I didn't do it for the reward. I did it because of the humanity and the brokenness in front of me. And so, friends, Matthew 6, 3-4 says this, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Friends, there's power in our anonymous acts of kindness, in that they cause a formation to take place in us. Because we become more like Jesus without telling everybody, look at me, look how amazing I am, look at what I did. And so can I encourage us to pay for a meal for a friend who went to a restaurant? You know, pay in advance if you know they're going. Drop a card or a chocolate in a person's postbox without putting your name on it. Just that they are loved. Pay for the groceries of the person behind you who they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are, and just pay for their groceries. Pay for the toll for the person who's behind you. Help an elderly person carry their parcels across the road. Just stop. See. Notice and act. Pick up litter in a park. I mean, that will make a difference. Volunteer at a charity. Good news people are okay with being anonymous because they understand that it's not about them. So as I recap this morning, in this beautiful, complicated nation of South Africa, we can be good news people. We are invited to be good news people. And there are a couple of ways that we can be good news people. Good news people are found in their everyday, ordinary lives. Right where you are, friends, you can be a good news person. In your workspace, in your school, in your university, at home, you can be a good news person. Good news people are compassionate. Some of us need to pray, God, would you break my heart for the things that break your heart, because I have become hard and calloused and angry. And some of us need to go, God, I don't know what to do with this pain of seeing this brokenness. I give it to you because you are God. Good news people are generous with their resources. Their resources. What have you got? How can you bless someone? Are your cupboards overflowing with things you don't need, don't wear? Are there kids' toys that could go to a home or a shelter? Friends, what are the resources at your disposal that you could be a good news person with? And are you okay to be interrupted? Have you allowed enough margin in your life, in your calendar, in your resources to be interruptible? And are you okay with being anonymous without putting your face out there on social media or telling every friend what you did? Are you okay with being anonymous and being seen solely by God? Returning back to the conversation, I want to read verse 25 to 28 again, and it says this. One day, an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Just hold the words eternal life in your mind. And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God and all with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. Now, I want to point out those two words. The religious man was after eternal life. But Jesus says, if you love your neighbor, if you love God and you love your neighbor, you will live right now. In your everyday life, there will be living within you. And so if you want to be a person who is living, going through life abundantly with joy, you know, with the life of God right here, right now, then let's be good news people who love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I don't believe that that doesn't mean that he will get eternal life. He will. But the emphasis is on, friends, we can live right here, right now, in our everyday lives. We can live good news people's lives. And as a result, we will have beautiful lives. Beautiful lives that speak into the brokenness of our nation. Beautiful lives that impact the people around us. Beautiful good news people lives that will make a difference. If we will love God and love our neighbors. You know, I heard a story the other day of two staff members at an assisted living facility. Their name was, the cook was Maurice Rowland, and the janitor was Miguel Alvarez. And due to lack of funds, this home closed. And all the workers who were no longer being paid decided that they were not working for free. But the janitor and the cook looked at each other and said, how can we leave these people, these elderly people who are dependent on us, how can we leave these people here alone? And so the janitor and the cook, for over a week, took 23-hour shifts, 23 out of 24 hours, to make sure that the 16 people, now this is very scary, who were left, abandoned, some of them with dementia, to give them their medication, to feed them, to look after them, to report this to the police until this whole situation was sorted out. Friends, those are good news people. Paid staff, a janitor and a cook who became volunteers because they saw the need in front of them and moved towards it. Friends, you and I, we can be good news people if we just accept the invitation that's in front of us. Can I ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed as we take a moment to respond to what we've heard here today? Friends, the only way that we can be good news people ourselves is if we have the good news. And that good news is Jesus. And Hines spoke about it so brilliantly, that a friendship with Jesus is available to us here and now, if we would just ask him to come into our hearts and into our lives. And when he does, when we love him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, we become good news people because that love overflows to others. And so perhaps you're here today and you would like to be a good news person, but you need to first accept the good news of Jesus. Then in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand and I'm going to include you in a prayer. It is a life-changing prayer, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of friendship with Jesus so that you can be a good news person. I'd love to include you in your prayer. On the count of three, if that's you, you want to accept the good news of Jesus, then no one is looking around. Would you just pop up your hand? One, two, three. Hands up all across this auditorium. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Any other hands? Just pop them up. I'd love to include you in this prayer. No one's looking around. Every eyes are closed. Thank you. I see that hand over there. Thank you. I see your hand over there. You want to accept the good news of Jesus and become a good news person? Just pop up your hand. I see your hand there. You're welcome to pop it down. Last call. And then I'm going to pray a prayer. Here's a prayer, and if you would just follow it in your hearts alongside me. Dear Father God, I come before you today with a humble heart and I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ was born sin-free and he died on a cross as a payment for my sin. And from today, I want to live and love him with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. And as a result of receiving this good news of friendship with Jesus, I would love to live as a good news person. In Jesus' name, and everybody together said, amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.